Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about sufficient grace. So many times things are going on in our life and sometimes we wonder where God is. Sometimes we wonder why in the world things are happening. And I was reading in Deuteronomy and I came across this verse and it really got me to stop and think. So Deuteronomy 15 verses 7 and 8 says, "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brethren, from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs." It goes on to say, it's talking about the year of Jubilee. It's talking about the year of release as it goes on to that. And he says, you shouldn't withhold. Because remember, in the year of release, all debts were canceled. So if you loan something to somebody, they were supposed to pay it back. But if the year of release came and they hadn't paid it back, they didn't have to. It says you shouldn't withhold your hand just because the year of release is coming up. And I got to thinking how all through Scripture, especially how in the law, God was trying to display not only to Israel, but through Israel to the people around the nature of God. And God gives us what we need. How many people know it's not always what we want? Okay? But God gives us what we need. And that is part of the nature of God and part of what we are called to, why we are called to be generous, why we are called to care for other people, why we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, is because it demonstrates the love and grace and mercy of God. Let me slide this over just a little bit so I don't have a flower in my face. And I got to thinking about that and how, You look back at Joseph. God gave him what he needed. What he needed involved being thrown in a pit, being sold into slavery, being falsely accused, being put into prison, being forgotten. All of these things were part of what he needed so that he would be in the position to be the rescue for his family, to be what Israel needed. You think about Job. The devil came the second time before the children of God and said, "I'm going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for looking to for whom I can devour. Have you considered my servant Job?" What do you mean? Job has already lost his family. He's already lost all of his possessions. And God says, "You can still have him because there was something Job needed." God's grace is sufficient. That it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, God is still bringing us through until we wake up in His arms. Until our time on this earth is over, God is leading us and keeping us. He's at work in the circumstances. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He has never deserted us. In 2 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul is talking, and he's of course talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Stop right there. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, people can find out who I am by what they see you do. You are our epistle. You are our letter. You are our letter of introduction because they can see how we've taught you to live, and it's a reflection of who we are. As we read our Bible, as we try to walk out this Christian life, as we draw closer to the Lord, the world sees who the Lord is by us. How many besides me fall short? Not always faithful witnesses, not always good witnesses, but praise God, He is at work. He is changing us each and every day that we might be more and more and more a reflection of Jesus. Because people around sure need Jesus. People around sure need to know that there are people who are authentic in their faith. Because so many times that's not what they see. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of this, but you go to do business with a company and they have the fish logo on their truck and you expect them to treat you right, and they don't. Praise God anyway. You know? There's a lot of that. Verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. As God's Word goes into us, as the Holy Spirit works in us, we become more and more and more a reflection of who Jesus is. If we battle that, if we refuse to surrender to the Lord, that also shows. Verse 4. And we have such such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It is God working, it is God's sufficiency working through us that enables us to reach out, to encourage other people, that enables us to be a light, that enables us to have an impact in other people's lives. It's God working in us. I said before, we don't have anything that is not given to us by God. You don't have anything in your bank account that God didn't give to you. You don't have breath in your lungs that God didn't give to you. You don't have the ability to think that God didn't give to you. You don't have fingers and toes that God didn't give to you. God is still at work and His grace is sufficient. And He has brought us, each and every one of us, through a whole long list of things. Even in 19 years, Dylan, you've been through some stuff. I don't have to guess. I know these things because we're in a fallen world and there's pain and there's suffering and there's heartache all around us. And the difference is we have an expectation that no matter what I'm going through, God still has me engraved in the palm of His hands. God is still at work in my life. He has not left me alone. People who don't know the Lord, they don't have that hope. They don't have that foundation. They don't have that confidence of knowing that they're not alone. So we see such loneliness and such desperation even in our land these days. Suicides are devastating. I knew a young man, didn't know him well, knew a young man, and this is several years ago. But his brother had gotten into some trouble with the law, his older brother, and then a girl falsely accused him of rape. And she recanted, but by the time she recanted, he had killed himself. Because he had seen what his parents went through with his brother, and he didn't want to be the cause of something like that, even though he was innocent. And it's a hopelessness in the world around us. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough to keep us through. We can grab onto that. But so many people around us don't know the grace and love and mercy of God. They can only see it by the epistle of God written in our hearts and the way we carry out our actions, the way we live before them. Showing God's love, showing God's grace, showing God's mercy. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 116, beginning with verse 5, it says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." The psalmist says, things I had gone through, God brought me through. And I can rejoice in the Lord because I know it is God that brought me this far. I can rejoice in the Lord because I know that He has a plan and purpose for my life. And Jeremiah, which we're not going there, but in Jeremiah 3, it says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Before we were formed, God had a plan and purpose for our lives. And He has been guiding us each and every day in it. Even when we are running from Him, even when we've turned our back on Him, even when we're just in all kinds of trouble, God has still not forsaken us. God has still not deserted us. Amen, Jesus. We read last week talking about Jeremiah, how the second time the Lord came to him while he was in the dungeon, while he was in the prison, because God had already came to him once while he was in the prison. He was in prison for basically saying something that the king didn't want said. He was bringing a message that was not politically correct and was in jail, was in the prison. And God came to him and spoke to him there. And then in the next chapter it says, and a second time the Lord came to him while he was in jail. Sometimes being in jail is where we need to be. Praise God. Foreign jail at that. Praise God. Learning that when there is no one else to rely on, you can rely on God. A lesson I absolutely needed to have. God is at work in our circumstances, even when it doesn't make sense to our natural mind. The Bible tells us that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, is an adversary. When we think things through just like the world thinks, we're forgetting that God is doing something completely different. It says that the things of the Lord are foolishness to those that are perishing. When we're not serving God, just the very thought of serving an invisible God just doesn't make any sense. Someone you can't see or touch or anything like that. But let me tell you about the change He's made in my heart. Let me tell you about the change He's made in my life. I tell you, God is real. I've seen Him do so many wonderful things. He has spoken to me. He has guided me. He speaks to me. So He speaks to me through the radio. You know, through a song, through a picture, through a verse. God is at work guiding me and leading me. And He does the same for you. I'm not special. None of us are. We are special because God loves each and every one of us uniquely. And He knows each and every one of us totally and completely. We are special to God. But I'm no better, no worse than anybody else. God doesn't love me any better or any worse than you do. Or any better or any worse than He loves you. I saw a t-shirt one time that says, Jesus loves you, but I'm His favorite. You know? Sometimes maybe we think that way. I'm His favorite. No, but He loves me. You know, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, every time John refers to himself as a disciple that Jesus loved. Not that Jesus didn't love the other disciple, but it had such a profound impact in John that it came out in his writing, the disciple that Jesus loved. That special relationship that comes from communion with Jesus, communion with the Father, communion with the Holy Spirit. Knowing that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what we're going through physically or mentally, emotionally, He is still God and still loves us and is still at work. Praise God. We need it. His grace is sufficient. He has sufficient grace for each of us, for no matter what our circumstances are. Back to 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7, where Paul talks about that sufficient grace. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, even in this, God had a plan. And you know, there's a lot of speculation what possibly was the infirmity. Some people think it was the fact that his eyesight was going dim because in one of the epistles it says, see how large a letter I have written to you that I have written by my own hand. So that's one of the speculations, but none of us know. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was. We know he was stoned. We know he was shipwrecked. You know, he was beaten a whole bunch. Could be a lot of things. We don't know. One day I will know even as also I am known, though. Because one day I'm going to meet him and talk to him. But Paul recognized that even in that, it was the grace of God. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, Well, since the Lord's not going to take it away, that means I got it, and he's going to bring me through it. His tender mercies are still fresh and new each morning. God's grace doesn't change because things don't go our way. God's grace doesn't change because we are in pain. God's grace doesn't change because we have turmoil in our families. God's grace doesn't change because we grieve. God's grace is sufficient no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is. He loves us and he is at work in it. And he has a plan and purpose and has already promised to cause all things to work together for good. That doesn't mean everything's pleasant. That doesn't mean everything's comfortable. It means God is still at work and all of his ways are right and righteous. Final passage of scripture is Psalm 20. It's the whole chapter, but it's only 9 verses. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice." Selah, stop and think about it. "May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. Now may the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the king hear us when we call. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in their finances. Some trust in their health. Some trust in a good job. Some trust in an inheritance. Some trust in..." The list just goes on and on and on and on and on. But our provision, our grace, our very lives are a gift from God. And his grace is sufficient no matter what the circumstances are. And he will bring us through until he's ready to take us home. He hasn't taken his hand off of us. He's never let us go. He told Abraham, "I'm going to give you a son. In your seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed." And then 25 years later, he got an answer to that promise. He gave Joseph a dream that his star and there was and there and his all of there was the, his parents were the sun and moon. He was a star and all of his brothers were stars. And he had this dream that the sun and moon and all of the other stars were bowing down to him. Had this dream that he was the one to be lifted up and exalted. And then, of course, being young and not yet full of wisdom, being the favored child, being the heir, became a lot of turmoil in the family to the point where some of his brothers were willing to kill him. And the other brothers said, no, let's not kill him. But they put him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. He was taken to another land. And every place he went, God was still with him, even though God didn't release him from there because God needed him to be there. Maybe some of the places we're in is part of a bigger plan that God has that's going to bring salvation and bring life to somebody around us. Isn't it worth it? The things we've gone through, God has used it, the scars on our bodies, the scars on our heart. God has brought us through some difficult times for his glory, to put us in the place to show his love, to open doors of ministry so that we can relate, sometimes so we can relate to the pain other people are going through, that we can share the compassion and comfort others with the comfort God has given us. Isn't it worth it? His grace is sufficient for me and for you. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your sufficient grace. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to watch over and guide us. We thank you, Father, that you are at work in our circumstances, even when we're not seeing the answers we're hoping for, not seeing the answers we're expecting. Even when the path leads through pain, the path leads through difficulty, your grace is still sufficient. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil. Because you are with us, you strengthen us, you guide us, you provide for us, and you bring us through. So, Father, we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.